All right, we're broadcasting. People, we're sorry if we're a couple minutes late, everybody. Welcome. I'm joined by the lovely Colette Baron-Reed in photo form for right now. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but bear with us. So welcome, everybody. Say hello in the chat. We'd love to have you kind of hear your other. There's Lorna. First on in there with a little hello. So... Hi, Jean, Brian, Maria, Nicole, Jeanette, Gregory, Lori, Trish, Holly, hello, hello, Derek, Jacqueline, David, so many people. This is great. And I know Colette and Mark are working on some technical things over there. Hi, Anna. Glad you're here.
Get going. There it is.
So, and thank you. I love it too. A good friend of mine did that, Nicole. So it's one of my new pieces and I'm really happy with it. It's called Reclamation Verse, so Reclaiming My Life. Very fun little piece. We are I'm going to mute you guys, Colette and Mark, just a second. No,
I'm going to do it this way.
Well, I can't
log out to what? Log out altogether?
Yeah.
From this?
Oh, hey, log out from no,
well, I
log out from
I don't think I can mute Colette and Mark. I'm trying here. Oh, there, maybe they're back. If Mark and Colette, if you guys can hear me, go ahead and maybe mute yourself. That'd be great. There we go. Perfect. So thrilled that you're all here, guys. Yeah, wasn't ready to connect it. We took a little bit of technology, having a little bit of technology troubles today, but we're glad you're here. A couple of things to let you know. We're going to be talking about module two, so working with multiple decks. So tonight is a night where if you have your multiple decks handy and you want to do a council spread and you haven't done one yet, you can come online with me and with Colette and we'll kind of walk you through that process. We'd love to have a few of you that haven't taken time to do that yet to maybe come up and do that with us. So there is absolutely no worries if you haven't done it yet. And those of you that have done it, by the way, I mean, Anna and Colette and I were together this past weekend at an event and it's so exciting to watch all the posts and to see everything you guys have. It's been amazing. And so we're really excited to have you guys there. I am going to see if we can bring a minute while Colette's working things out. And Anna, I'm wondering if you are able to just, even if it's just voice, I want to check in with you first before I do that. And just check if you have any updates from the headmistress of Oracle School. Do you want to come on, Anna? Just type something to the chat to let me know. I don't want to assume. Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. Here we go. All right. And here she comes. There. Oh. I unmuted you and you unmuted you.
Hold on.
Ah, there you are. Perfectly. Look at that. How are you?
I hear you. Oh, there it is. No, I can't hear you guys.
You can't hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. Oh my goodness, technical stuff.
It's happening.
Hi, everybody.
So tell us, I know Mark and Colette are trying to adjust to a different location to get a different internet. So what I'd love to do is just kind of what's happening on the boards and in the classrooms and how anything that we want to kind of let the kids know out in shared wisdom land.
Yes. First of all, we were talking this weekend about how amazing it has been to watch you all working with your councils.
Yeah, seriously.
It's especially thrilling with those of you who are new to shared wisdom and this is your first time doing it. And I look at these posts and I think, look at you go. This is you in shared wisdom and you're doing fabulous. You know, I think of how far you've all come from personal mastery. But so that has been great. I love it. Keep it up. It's fun to watch you. Yeah. And and I also wanted to mention this week and next week are really important modules. Module two and module three.
Right, modules two and three.
They're all important, but modules two and three really set you up for the rest of this course. So my advice is that no matter where you are in the course, stop what you're doing and really focus on module 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you agree, Doug?
I would. I mean, it's absolutely a time to focus in on, you know, one of the things we talk about this week is getting our kind of toolkit together with module 2, getting our counsel together, getting that relationship with these other decks. But next week, we talk about really taking care of yourself when you start to bring other people into the conversation. When we bring other people into the conversation, we deal with energy of other folks. We deal with, just taking a little bit more self-care focus, to be honest. And it is, as Anna said, it's probably one of the most important modules we do when it comes to shared wisdom, because when you start to open yourself up to that, we want to make sure you're taking care of you and that you're creating an energetic boundary for yourself as well, and really healthy spiritual boundaries, as well as sometimes emotional and relational boundaries as well. So we'll talk about all of that next week. But I think definitely, as Anna's saying, stay focused on that and make sure you take some time to spend on that for sure.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really important module moving forward, because the rest of shared wisdom is that sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
We want to make sure that you're really on that one.
Yeah. And now I know one of the things that was sometimes can trip people up, and we made a note of it in the questions in the home play, but I just want to remind people about the groups. Colette mentions in one of the videos that we're breaking up into the groups, but we're not doing that quite yet. Do you just want to make sure we highlight that for right now to kind of let folks know when that's coming?
Yes, I will be, because before that was, yeah, there's a few things, and I had warned you guys about it at the beginning of the course that we moved around and changed. That's why we say, you know, like it won't be exactly the same as the modules lay out.
Yeah.
We found that it was better to go make sure we were through module 3 and everyone had it. And then in module 4, in that week is when it's usually break week, which is next week, I believe, where we start with groups and learning to share together.
Great. So. Well, good. Well, I know that Colette's trying to get connected, but I have not heard back. So I know they're having some trouble with the internet on all fronts there. So you may have Anna and me doing council spreads for you guys tonight. This could be fun. So this is, one of the things I want to just see is if anyone has questions for Anna right now or for myself, as we're waiting on Colette to kind of, and Mark to kind of get their tech stuff sorted. Cause I do have a couple of questions from the main hall. Thank you guys as always for posting those there. So we had a few questions that I want to make sure Colette's here to talk about, but if you have questions for Anna and or I that you want to put in either into the Q&A or into the chat, we'll try and catch a couple of those. And then there might be one or two of these that you and I can talk about. And then we, again, if you would like to have a council spread for yourself, and kind of we'll walk you through that and the process of that, make sure you have your decks handy so we can kind of come back to that in just a couple of minutes. So,
yes, I know a question a lot of people have been asking. Because we say, you know, you choose 4 or 5 decks, but Colette has more than 4 or 5 decks.
Yeah.
And your decks that your council does not have to be a finite council.
Right.
And I think it's helpful to have it flow, because if you have a group of friends, you know that when you need advice, you go to certain friends for certain types of advice.
Right.
You don't always call the same person. So think of your council that way. Feel your way through it. See who you feel wants to talk to you that day in that group. You know, don't use all of them. I feel like that gets a little confusing to have that many decks.
Yeah.
Keep it to 4 or 5 and let them work together. Feel out who you need to hear from.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did, I had a session today with a client that I was working with, and I normally just use a single deck when I'm working with my coaching clients. Mm-hmm. And today I felt really like it was, oh, there's Colette. Look at that. Let me just finish this thought. I'm glad she's connected.
Keep talking. Say hi, Mark.
No, I'm not ready.
I was going to say, I don't think
I'm in another house, you guys. I had to go outside with my coat on and my big boots. And I don't have my glasses. So I can't see a thing.
Well, now okay, the cold air gave you some light, nice rosy cheeks, so you're good.
Okay. Apologies for interrupting.
No, it's okay. Well, I was just going to say, and at the end of the session, I realized, oh, you know what? The goddess oracle wanted to speak. The goddess power oracle wanted to share in this particular session today. So I did. And it was just three cards in the midst of four or five different spreads that I was doing with this particular client. But that idea of knowing when the right time is. You don't have to do it all the time, as Anna's saying. We are going to talk tonight, by the way, about both the goddess power oracle and spirit animal, because we didn't have videos in there. We want to just at least mention how those can be useful. But, you know, we definitely, our focus, as Colette recommended in the videos, WOTO, Enchanted Map, Wisdom of the Hidden Realms, and Wisdom of Avalon are kind of the four good core ones that you can work with. And Postcards from Spirit's a little bit different, little different kind of story, not really appropriate for a council in this kind of situation. But a couple of questions have come in on the chat. I'm just noticing, Anna and Colette, that we can talk about quickly. One was, how many cards do we draw for the council? We're going to do that tonight, but it's always two. You'll see that in the home play activity, that one is the anchor for how you will serve me on my council. And the second one is for more information that will give you an action to take. If you want to do more than that, if you want to do three, you're welcome to. But the home play is just those two. So really kind of straightforward. So
there's also, Doug, there's also the, you know, getting to know the decks. I think they also hold there. I think that's a really good one. If we have one person. Yes, postcards for a final message is great. I was going to call you Tarak again. But so I do want to bring up a couple of things. So the core cards that we used, certainly Enchanted Map, I taught a coaching course with the Enchanted Map. So that deck, Wisdom of the Oracle, Wisdom of the Hidden Realms, those are the older decks. Wisdom of Avalon is a softer deck. It's a lot of people's favorite deck. I noticed a few of you have the old version of it where the Sacred Journey markers look identical. And that was my very first deck, and I didn't know I was allowed to have them to be different. So I had them go in and redesign the deck. So if your cards from that section are the same, you have an old deck. Anyway, the decks have evolved, and so you don't have to use all of these, every single deck, although I know many of you want to. And there are no videos for the latest two decks because I hadn't actually published them yet. The course that you are taking are, you know, all the videos on there were recorded prior to these decks being released. We're going to redo the videos next year, but they were so good we didn't want to redo them. And also, I made Spirit Animal and the Goddess deck specifically to really work well together. If you will notice, all the decks speak to each other. And that is something that every deck I've been creating, the only deck that doesn't really talk, I know some people like it, is the Oracle of E. So I never want to see that in your council, because it wasn't mine and it was more Pam Grout's. So it's not going to speak the same way. But you know, the Goddess deck is the newest deck, of course, and you will really see how well they work because they are the latest ones. So they look back, right? So the Goddess deck very specifically speaks to a specific theme. You know, this whole, where we are right now in the zeitgeist, you know, we're all dealing with the shift from that, you know, old paradigm, the patriarchal paradigm, where even intuition was repressed, into this new openness, which is really the domain of the Goddess. All of every divination system originated in during the 30,000 years that we know of in prehistory, pre any of the other older civilizations that we know of that have these pantheons of goddesses. So that's coming from that very core sense and spirit animal. So if you can imagine, these two decks look back to the other ones, right? And they have evolved past the other ones. And then you put them all together, they really have a very meaningful conversation. And Mystical Shaman, of course, too, of course, Albert. Yeah. And I think the same way. Sorry, Doug, go ahead.
No, I'm realizing we've got Anna up here on the call, and I don't know that she needs to be up here on the call, but I want to check in and see if there's anything else for this sweet, wonderful woman who came in. And
well, I'd love Anna to talk. I would like Anna to talk about her experience with this, your first experience.
Oh, with the council?
Council?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I will do that.
That's why you're there.
Okay. My first experience, boy, it feels like it was many moons ago. But I remember thinking that, like, because I was doing it, but I didn't quite understand, like, how it could work, right? Like, I just thought it was almost going to be like, I'm going to get advice from this one, and then it's going to be something different from that one. And when I first laid them all out and then started reading the messages, I realized that it was like an entire conversation. It's all your friends jumping in with their opinion, with their thought, as you sat and sort of took it all in. So that, I find the council very powerful, and that's what I love it. Yeah.
Thank you. I like what you said. Thanks so much, Anna. The idea of an entire conversation that takes place. I know when people first, they think, oh, it's like all these different decks are going to say different things. But if you can imagine that these are beings, right? Like we just have to sort of pretend. I mean, I think they're alive, but imagine that you have six wise elders that are wearing different clothes, that come from different countries or planets or dimensions, and they're all sitting around talking to you about you and the different aspects, like a diamond with different facets. They're talking about you, about whatever it is that you're asking about, whatever it is that, you know, you want to know. They all have an opinion that will not really differ from the others at all. You'll notice that, right? They're going to be synergistic. And they'll be like, oh, you know, like, oh, they're not that they're giving me something different. They're giving me more. They're adding to their.
They add layers.
Yeah.
And part of. Go ahead, Anna.
No, I was saying they add layers, and like, it's like your friends saying, and notice this as well. Yes. And this also. You know, so they give you a lot. So I had thought I was going to pick a card and write all about that card, but rather it was in my journal, just everything that I saw that my friends said to me, you know, so.
That's right. I like what Ellen said. She says, it's like talking to the elders, ancestors, and goddesses in the ethereal realm. It's so true. And it is, it's like friends. And Sammy, that's kind of like, if I know you posted about not really 100% understanding it. And if you could look at it or approach it like, oh, there's the subject I'm bringing to the table, the theme of my dominant energy, my internal question, what I need most of. I'm going to turn it over to these beings that are here to serve me. Right, they're here for me or for you. They're here for you. And so they're not going to argue amongst themselves. What they're going to do is give their wisdom to you in different ways, and they will show you different aspects of the same story, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this, and it's true. Terry said they help us get out of our conscious mind so we can be more receptive to spirit. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think that's really helpful about right now when we're doing this work too in module two, is it's like when you get to know somebody for the first time, a new friend, because what happens is you start to realize that, you know, one of your friends might be that very playful, jokey, fun, kind of relaxed or informal approach. And another one of your friends might always be really serious and intense and tell you the truth and give you some perspective. And I think what's really helpful is exactly as Teresa just said, we're getting different sides of the same story, different perspectives
of the story.
And the reason for that and why it's so important is not just to pay attention as we're asking about specific issues, but starting to build the relationship with the different Oracle decks. So I can tell you I have the longest relationship with Wisdom of Avalon because it's the first deck I ever used. I love it. As I said earlier, I used it today with client. And part of my process is that when I'm working with that, it's like I speak that language. I don't even have to, like, it's just natural for me. Now, when I start working with a goddess deck, I'm still at a place where I want to go and work with a book, and I want to be able to really understand her and see what she's saying to me. And I do often call them women or feminine energy because that works for me. And so I like, you know, what is she bringing to the table for this situation? So I think it's so important as you're doing as we're doing these activities, notice the specifics about what they say, but notice the meta of how they say it. Notice the overarching approach, because that's going to really help you understand the way they are choosing to serve you and the way their personality will come through for you and to you.
That's great. Thanks, Anna. You want to have add one more
thing? I want to say one more thing before I go. If I find it helpful to sit with my counsel, make sure you have time for your counsel. Don't race through your counsel, but sit with them like you're going to hang out with your friends. Mm-hmm. And I like to put them almost in a circle, whether I'm sitting on the floor and they're surrounding me in a circle of wisdom or at the table in a circle. Mm-hmm. And I find it helps. Like there, I see each one sitting there, each council member sitting around me, and we're in a circle. And I think that might really help too. And you can see how that works for you. And now I'm going to go.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, darling.
Love you all. Have a great night.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we had these big wind storms here, so it knocked out our internet in the house. So I had to go to another house on our property.
Yikes.
And thank you guys. Oh my God, my husband was so great. Like coming out, he's in his pajamas and his coat and his boots. So I want to talk about that circle. So and there's a reason for why that works, that you have it like a semicircle, right? So you have them in front of you like this, and you can get a sense of them. For example, when I really want to slap in the head, I'm going to go to Wisdom of the Hidden Realms. For me, that's the one for me. Yeah, that's like,
interesting.
You know, slap upside the head, I'm going to go there. If I'm going to get more like a coaching information from the enchanted map, where am I right now? What's going on? Then spirit animal reminds me I'm not alone, and there's a guiding element, natural cyclical element that can lead me. I look at the good tarot for more info. Right? The good tarot will go, ooh, yeah, I should take a look at that, because of course the themes in there are very clear. And then there might be a little distinctive thing in the minor arcana that will say, ooh, then I have to take a look at this too. The goddess deck, of course, because it's the latest one and I think it's my favorite. I say that though every time I make one. So you all have to remember that the goddess deck, goddesses represent archetypal energies. They are moving, evolving energies. They are, and we are returning to the, they are aspects of the divine feminine. And so they come in a form of a personality that has a mythic origin. So they are already storied, if you will. And so what I did when I created the deck was to distill the story down to one specific element, because like half the deck can be fertility goddesses. That's not what we were doing. We weren't presenting a traditional goddesses. We were taking their myths and distilling them as living energies. So they will come in turn, and it's like one of them might say, okay, and this is what I have to say about all this that came before. So I typically will pick a goddess card last, right? So because I'll say, okay, or first, right? So I'll say, what's the goddess that's thematically leading me right now? For my highest good, what's the aspect of this goddess that I need to look at most? And it'll be either in the empowerment or the alignment message. And then I'll go spirit animal and the rest, but you can do it your way. Like just because I do it that way doesn't mean that that's going to be the way it is for you. And it changes every day. That's just what I'm doing now. Right, Doug? And we can be really connected to one deck. And then all of a sudden you don't really want that deck as much that day.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I think that, There's another side of it too, Colette, for me at least, that I love, which is, I love the way you described specifically the goddess deck and enchanted map, the map being more of a coaching deck, and then goddess deck being more of kind of this divine feminine archetypal energy piece. And specifically what I love about the way you've written this, and I have to remind myself sometimes, you in several of your decks, you do have them upside down or upright, reversed or upright. Yeah. But you have very deliberately, and I love this, especially about the goddess deck, changed what those might mean. For example,
yes,
in the goddess deck, we're talking about alignment and empowerment messages. That is a very different language than we think about in other cases. And whereas protection. WOTO, it's protection. So do you want to talk just a little bit about that? Because I loved that.
Yeah. And actually, it's more the way I'm evolving. Anna and I, we were away together. Our planes got stuck in Florida. So we were talking about the new chakra deck, for example, and we were talking about how the alignment message is a new way of seeing things, that instead of looking at something being the opposite, what happens when we're out of alignment with these things for us, and how do we get back into alignment, which is very different than reversals, right? Very, very different. When you hear the word protection, that's when I first started turning them around. Actually, I'd like to start from the beginning. I'd like to start with how the decks evolved so you guys will understand, because they're all going to be part of your council. So Wisdom of Avalon was never meant to be read reversed, right? A very good place to start right at the beginning. So we have the first deck that I created is Wisdom of Avalon. It was specifically meant to only be read upright because it already had shadow cards designed into the Lost Icon.
Right.
Right. I was only told I was allowed 44 cards. So I had to create this language with what I was given by Hay House, because it was my first deck. I love that deck. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that there was many things that I would have loved to put into it. If I could do it again, I would. I would expand it. But as it is, it sits as a perfect oracle as it is. You'll never read that card reversed because it was not meant to be double-meaninged. The second deck is Wisdom of the Hidden Realms. And I channeled that deck when I was living in Sedona, Arizona. And that one, where I am not breathing in a corset. That is me with the boobs. Anyway, that deck came in the most fascinating way because I saw all these beings, like they were coming to me in my dreams. And I'm not a vivid dreamer. When I am, it's like insane. It's like amazing. So I pay big attention to those. And so the question I asked, if there were beings in other dimensions that also ruled over the archetypal aspects of human behavior and psychology, like what motivates us to be in the world, what would they look like? And so we have the Chess Queen and the Eagle King and the Winged Wise Ones. So we had all these beings that kind of downloaded into my head. And so I know we're asking about that, Gina Maria. So
what's interesting is, Colette, I love, well, two things I have to tell you. So obviously this is what I just found in my deck, Colette, which is a name tag from the first seminar I went to live with you a long time ago, I think in Chicago. But anyway, these are allies or challengers, right?
Yes.
So this is a different, how these beings can support, right? Is this idea of allies versus challengers in that regard.
Right. And so when they're, and so now you look at language, that's a little harsher.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of shadow work at the time. And my background is Jung. Most of you know that, right? So I've studied everything. But I was really looking at, because I was touring at that time too, and I was meeting all these people that are very wounded. And I was like going, okay, so if these are the allies that can come to us and say that we're here for you and we are in you and you can access us and our power and our grace and our wisdom, what would it be like if we were casting a shadow? And so those same beings would come to challenge us to get back into alignment, basically, right? So, but they were specifically challenging us to wake up. So that was really about the evolution of awakening, right? So like Renaissance or medieval time areas in a way, yes. So then we go, and you'll notice too, so I'm just sharing with you how all my decks evolved so you can understand how they can help you. Then the Enchanted Map came. Yes. Now I wrote the book, The Map, which was a international bestseller and was for me probably one of the more profound content. And I started the Master Intuitive Coach Institute, which existed for about 2-3 years. And was the precursor to Oracle School, really. I didn't know how to run a school, though. So I'll tell you, I'll just say this. Like, I gave university-level courses. I almost died. I wrote a course of 364 pages, and that was module one. Oh, my God. I was like, I don't know how they even managed, like, these people. But anyhow, So the Enchanted Map specifically spoke to the concept that we move through various places, right? And that was reverse, right? So upright and reversed.
That one was upright and reverse. That's right.
I just called it upright and reversed. So it's like, where am I? In the reversal of my fortune, if I'm in that reversal space, then I am likely in a more opposite, opposing experience. It didn't mean it was bad. It just meant there was a level of opposition to the immediate understanding of the archetype that the upright card was given, right? It's very clear and blunt. Thank you. I think, David, I'm not sure if you're saying that about that deck. So what I wanted that deck to answer to was that it was, and then I trained coaches to work with that deck. So that deck was specifically geared for people who would work in that shared wisdom concept, right? In the active role, but very different because it was very specific to coaches. I found it so helpful. This deck is challenging. It can be, Millie. It can be challenging. Oh, thank you, Gina Maria. So we really, and just so you know, because many of you don't know this this background, because you should know what is at the base, the heart of the Enchanted Map. So it was based on a question that I posed based on Joseph Campbell's work, The Hero of 1,000 Faces. And actually it came out of a conversation I had with Dr. Bruce Lipton, which was when he was talking about biology of belief, that in science they had discovered, and he had discovered, that the nucleus was not the brain of the cell, that it was the membrane, the environment. So the environment of the cell dictated the health of the cell. So I said, well, what about the environment of the mind would dictate the health of the person, right? And he said, of course, yes. And then I said, well, what if that's the environment, then that means we're in a place, or some environment means place, then instead of being a hero with 1,000 faces, what if we were a hero that traveled through 1,000 places? And therefore, it would be a lot easier for us to move through places than it would be through shifting various personas, the masks that we take on and off.
I still get chills every time you say that. It makes me, it is possibly one of the most profound pieces of work I have ever studied in my life. And I get so emotional when I think about it too, Colette, because I think it really is at the core of what we now do in the work that we do together in school, is that concept. So,
And it was the first time, thank you. It was the first time that I really understood the nature of evolution and the story in motion. That's when I first coined the phrase that we are stories in motion. So that's where it all kind of downloaded to me. So that deck, when you think about that deck, and you'll see things like the dry desert, and it says that it breeds resilience, that the desert isn't a static place that we always are in, but we learn to become resilient as we traverse it and we move to another landscape. And so when you're working with the Enchanted Map deck, I'd like to invite you to consider where you are, right? So it's like, where am I when I work with this deck? Yes, it is the heroine's and the hero's journey and more, exactly. That's the envision process comes from the book, The Map. And the map cards work well. So you have been introduced to this process, and that is what I certified coaches in that process. But you guys, I decided, you know what? The heck with certifying people in that process. Let's just give it to them for shared wisdom. I want them to learn this, and then they can go back. You can do that every year. It's like, it's major. Now, let's move to the next experience. So, yes. So I did two decks between that, which was the House of Night, for those of you who like vampires, my friend, Wisdom of the House of Night, As I know some of you really like that deck. I don't promote it in here. I don't even think they're still printing it. But I did it with an author. So it's all about this House of Night series by PC Cast. So she asked me if I would create an oracle for her world. So I did, but it was still based on the same lexicon. So it works. And then of course the Oracle of Eve that I do with my friend Pam Grout. So let's skip over those and go to Woto. So Wisdom of the Oracle, as far as I'm concerned, is it raised the bar for me, completely raised the bar. I dove into that deck and I decided that it would be, and I really don't know that I decided it. It told me that it wanted to be this rich, multi-layered oracle that could speak to many subjects, that you could actually specifically use this deck for specific subjects. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
It's like the Swiss utility knife of Oracle decks. Like you've got a can opener and you've got a nail file and you've got everything you need. Like it is such a accessible and applicable are the two words I would use to really describe it.
And I think I'm not saying that my earlier decks weren't good. I mean, they're very good, but I get better every time I make another deck because I have become, I've done more work too on me. Like it's not just you guys doing your work. I'm doing the work too. So I'm having realizations more and more each time I create a new deck. That is poured into the deck. But I knew that Wisdom of the Oracle was going to be a teaching deck. And I had made the commitment when I did a beta group, I didn't know who was going to come. And I said to myself, if I was going to create a school, it had to be a legacy. It meant that it's minimum 10 years it has to exist. I didn't want to start a school I would close. And I would be willing to go through all the bumps. And many of you who are in the beta group, it's still around, know there were a lot of bumps. And here we are today. And so as a result, I started creating oracles that made sense to what we were all doing in here.
Yeah.
We are doing that together. So as the work evolved and the need really our psychological and our social need and the cultural zeitgeist, if you notice, there's millions of Oracle card decks on the market now. I mean, so popular. I might even do a How Do You Make Your Own Oracle Card course at some point. I know you guys are going to be all excited about that. You have to take shared wisdom to do that. Anna and I were talking about that, and I was going to talk to Doug about it at some point. Yeah, I know. How cool. I know. I knew you'd say that, Mary Elizabeth. We have lots of courses that we want to create for you guys. Okay, so Woto then. So I had a list of oracles that I wanted to do. Postcards from Spirit was unique, and I really wanted to do it because I had a vision. You'll get. I Hay House said, you want to do a couple decks a year? And I went, yeah. Totally, because they knew I had a list this long. And they know the quality, that I've raised the bar in terms of the quality. So Postcards from Spirit, which hasn't really been as popular, but it's such a great deck. I wanted it to be one card. I wanted it to be like you're asking Spirit, your loved ones in Spirit. You know, most of you knew I came up with that actually when I had my television show as a medium. And I actually had a vision of a you'll laugh, of a mailman in a blue lamé tutu.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Delivering mail.
Yes. Right?
And I'm like, oh, my God. So that was that. And that really did come from that television show that you can see on Amazon Prime. And that was the crux point where I made the decision that mediumship, although it was something that I felt was a great, great gift for me to offer, it would not be my career, that this would. So I threw everything in, started Oracle School, decided the decks that I would create that would have meat. Hay House then allowed me to do a spirit animal deck because they already have two and they weren't going to do another one. And they are very happy that I did it.
Yeah.
It is profound. And I have a history with these archetypes ever since I was a little kid. It was pretty amazing. The deck, the way it came through, it is a little bit more traditional in terms of the meanings because these meanings are universal. And I expounded on what we already know. But it was created to work with the others. Like it was not created, it's definitely a standalone, but it is meant to be connected. And last but not least, the Goddess deck was not something that I had planned at all. Hay House asked me to do it a year ago, October. Jenna and I had talked about it off and on for about 10 years, but I was not into goddesses. I have to be honest with you guys. Like, I really wasn't into it. I found people that were into it were trite. And that's what I thought. Now, I'm not saying that I think that now at all. And when I said yes to it, I had no clue the kind of grief and hardcore healing that it would take me to. That was the most profound experience of my life. And I will say to this day that my understanding of why, you know, people were called to the goddess, etc. It wasn't just because, I just sort of looked at, I'll say her name, Doreen, and I thought it was fluffy. And that's not fluffy for me at all. It's very powerful and it is new. And I knew a lot about, how do I say, the goddesses, the myths. But I would always say to anybody, I don't know enough about anything. So I really had to do some serious research about this. But I can tell you that I think more work went into the goddess deck than any other deck I've done, because it came from research and I had to allow it to break me apart. I really did, to really get how wounded I was. So yeah. It was pretty profound. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, no, I think, I mean, there's a good tarot in the Mystical Shaman, which we talked about a little bit last week.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I think about the goddess deck in particular for me and my experience of it, is that it is a profoundly grounded and expanding oracle for me. Like the goddess deck, the goddess power. So when I pull a goddess card, what I find is that it immediately puts me like right where I'm at. Like it just kind of gets me, but then it pulls me up. Like it pulls me into this space of aspiration, which I really like in terms of the empowerment and the alignment message as well that you've got in there. There's this an idea of like, it's just, oh yeah, this is who I'm supposed to be. This is what's supposed to be happening right now. Yeah. It's almost like a kind of a, my experience of it is like it just gets me clear about who I am and why I'm here, and is a reminder, like almost instantly, like this message from the goddess. So,
yeah, and so just to go back to the good tarot, also, so you understand that, because not everybody's going to want to use the good tarot, but I'm a tarot. I read tarot and worked with tarot for 25 years in my profession.
Yeah.
So I was bored with the tarot. And being the kind of little bit more controversial way I think, I thought, what if the tarot represented, especially the more darker cards, could tell us about a process that we were undergoing, as opposed to landing on a fixed card like the Nine of Swords, for example, that told you were a martyr. But it's like, well, what about I am going through this process of grief and letting go, and on the other side, I can now claim my power. So I decided to rewrite it in a way with positive psychology at its basis. But I'm going to tell you, I am going to be doing a traditional tarot. It's going to be my opus, and it is called the Journey Tarot. It's going to take 2 years to do. And it is going to have the shadow really well expressed. And so it will be a traditional deck. I wanted to do the good tarot just because there wasn't anything like it. And it is profound in its own right. Mystical Shaman, by the way, Alberto and I got together and I created the lexicon for that with him. And then we both co-wrote it based on the universal shamanic symbols. And we are doing another deck called The Shaman's Dream. So there's, again, very, very symbolic, that is more to the Americas in that case, right? So do understand that I actually am doing these for you. Like, honest to God, when I do a deck, I go, how will it sit in the school? How can I teach with this? How can they add this to their council? And then they come to me. Then the cards talk to me. Like, I was afraid of the goddess deck. I wasn't sure that I was allowed to do it. I know many of you feel that way, that you've been so cut off from your own femininity and your own ability to express that and feel okay with it and understand even what it means to be an empowered woman. And all of us have been infected by patriarchy. And certainly with my abuse backgrounds, et cetera, it really was amazing. And there's, you know, the controversy around it. So it was amazing. I am so grateful. I cannot tell you how it changed my life. It just changed my life. And I hope it changes your life too. But anyhow, so I just thought you could understand a little bit more about each deck so that you can feel its heart, its heartbeat. It does come, it was born out of a desire to serve on my part, but also born out of its own desire to speak in a specific way to you. Because it came from a very, I would say a core dynamic that gives its personality.
Colette, we have a few questions that I'd love to kind of get to, and then
let's do it. And then let's bring some people up.
Yeah. So the first question, really simple one, I think, this is from Elizabetta, who is not able to be on the live calls with us, but she says, given that I haven't taken the Good Tarot course, what's the best way of using it? Would it be better to leave it on standby until I take the course, or is there something else I could do?
Can you say that again?
Yeah, she's basically saying I haven't attended the Good Tarot course we did in Oracle Schools. Most people haven't, so.
No, that was a beta class that I did. Like, don't even think about that. That was just to keep you guys busy until I started. It's like,
and what I would
say, the Good Tarot course, the deck just came out.
What I love about the Good Tarot deck is it's really a, and someone mentioned this in the chat earlier, it's an affirmation deck. It's a great way to pull a single card at the end of a reading if you want to do that, to connect with that. Totally up to you, but don't feel like you have to have the course to use the deck.
Oh my God, no. And besides, we're probably not even going to put that course on until next year. And you don't need to take a course to do the Good Tarot deck at all.
So Colette, there's a few other questions in the Q&A that if you want to bring that up, it might be good for you to take a look at those.
The first so hot in here. My husband turned on the heat and I'm dying. I don't know. I feel like getting naked. It's like, but you don't want to. You don't want to see that. Okay.
The question from Maria might be a good place for us to start, given that we were just talking about multiple decks.
Oh, you don't worry. Okay. I would like to honestly like to understand, why are there so many Oracle decks? It feels overwhelming and confusing. My understanding was that it was meant to speak to spirit, and isn't the objective met with what we already have? Forgive my ignorance. First of all, there's no ignorance. Ignorance means I don't know, which is great. So no. There are many versions of Oracle card decks. For me, it's like having babies. Like, why do you have to have so many children, Colette? Well, they speak to different things in a different way, and yet they all speak together. So there are many, because that is how the nature of oracles. The oracles are multiplicity. They represent the multiplicity of the way spirit can speak. That's why there are multiple decks, as opposed to the tarot, which will always have 78 cards. It will always be similar, will always be the same. They're fixed systems. Yeah. And oracle decks are fluid systems. And so I evolve, they revolve, spirograph it. I love what Lisa Walker said. So Maria, you just have to pick the ones that feel right to you. And if you are not, like, once you really get to know different decks and understand how they work, you won't feel that way. I think it's overwhelming and confusing right now because you think you have to intellectually understand them all, and you don't.
I think another key piece of thing to share at this point, Maria, is that we're not saying that in every time you share wisdom with someone else that you'll use multiple decks. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that in this course, one of the key learning objectives is for you to become familiar with the different voice and personality of these different decks and how they want to serve you, because you will find those decks that work best for you and work well for you. I shared earlier, I use all of these decks, but when I'm doing my typical coaching, I go back to Avalon because I know it so well. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I may not pull one in. But part of why we want you to use the different decks in this course is from a learning perspective. It's beginning to tune into the tone, the personality, the way they're there to serve you. So it is much more about that than anything, because when you are with a client, you may realize, oh, you know who needs to talk right now? Goddess Power needs to talk. And that is why it's not that you will use multiple decks in every session.
No. But
it's that, because that would be overwhelming for anybody, right?
Me too.
Yeah. So I hope that's helpful. I thought that was a great question. And I think sometimes we can get a little confused on those things. So hope that's helpful, Maria.
Yeah. And Maria, so there's something that I want you guys to know. Remember that these first 7 weeks, We're just showing you the content.
Right.
You don't have to jam it all together. You have until the end of the summer. Every month after this 7 weeks, we do an integration, right? It's an integration of the content. So don't look like, oh my God. Yeah, you know, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I can't get this all in 1 week. Of course you can't. That's totally, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So let's talk about, Abby did her first counsel tonight and she has a question and all the cards seem to be speaking to her dominant energy, even though she thought
I
she meditated.
I love card intervention.
Right? Yeah.
You do not redo it. No. I would not redo that at all because it's telling you it's something very important for today because you're going to do the counsel again. I mean, you don't redo it. You can do it again in a week and say, oh, once I deal with this, let's see now because they've obviously ganged up on you, right? Yeah. Oracle card intervention. I love that.
Yeah.
Right?
Great. Thanks, Abby. And Marie said, since we are using multiple decks in our council, how do the different decks work together when it comes to reversals? Since each deck really does have its own language and interpretation,
how do you bring
them all together? Yeah.
Just read the book. Don't even worry about it. Like, because they are, it's just like, okay, how's this? Imagine that the Woto actually had 104 cards or 108 cards, because I think there's 54 cards, so that you actually have all those different cards and pretend that they're not reversed. They're just meanings, right? So don't think like that. Just look it up. It'll say alignment message, protection message, reversal, or no, or none, right? So don't even think about it. Just look it up in the book. You'll be shocked at how a reversal from one deck supports the upright card of the next. Right? It's very cool. Oh, good. Yes, thank you, said Abby. All right, let's bring some people up.
Yes, let's do. Let's bring some folks up. So if you would like to do a council reading, especially if you haven't done one yet, so if you've not done a council reading already and you've got your at least four of your decks nearby,
yeah.
We want to have you raise your hand. And I think we've got Stephanie has raised her hand already. So Stephanie Calandruccio, I'm going to bring you up. And we'll have time for at least one more. So be sure you save your head. Hello, Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Oh,
okay. Nice house.
There you are.
We're going
to
show
you. How are you?
Good. So great to see you guys.
It's good to see you.
Where
are you calling from?
Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, just Woo! Outside. In the countryside, yeah.
I love it. My grandmother lives in Eudora, Mississippi, so I know that area very well.
It's beautiful. So, absolutely. Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, good. Well, do you have your decks there?
I do, yes.
Okay.
All right.
So go ahead, Colette.
So what I'd love to do tonight is just ask, we're going to just take one card from each deck rather than two. Okay? Perfect. So what we want to do is let's actually pose a question rather than go through like, who are you to me, et cetera, et cetera. We want to just, let's look at a theme of a question that you want to ask, and everybody can do this. Say, what do I need to know for my highest good about X? So do you have a specific theme that you want to look at?
It's kind of breaking out of my own bondage, really.
Good. All right.
I mean, psychologically imposed imprisonment. I mean, okay. That might be too rude, but.
Yeah, perfect. So the question you would ask your counsel is, what can you tell me, or what do I need to know about breaking out of the prison of my own making? Right? That's awesome. All right, so which decks do you have? And everybody can actually do this question. So, if with your permission, if you're not using spirit, animal, and goddess, I'm going to add those for you too.
Okay, that's perfect. I have spirit, animal. I do not have the goddess deck.
Okay.
I'm going to get those ladies on my app at some point on the app.
Yeah, perfect.
But I'm thinking, Wisdom of the Oracle, the Enchanted Map, Spirit Animals, and Wisdom of the Hidden Realms, I think.
Great. Okay,
let's do it.
Okay. I'm blushing.
Can I just start with something?
Yes.
All right. So, because you don't have the goddess deck, I remember I say I like to start with a goddess.
Yes.
Right. So we got Shakti in the alignment position. Now I'm just going to tell you what this is, because Shakti in alignment. Actually, I'll read you the little section I think is important. Right now your alignment task is to love that part of yourself that sabotages your efforts to move forward. Love the insecure you, the one that is jealous, the one that sees not enough when the world is truly full of potential. Life loves you. The feminine aspect of the universe, the great goddess herself, all your angels and your guides and helpers remind you that you came here as a spiritual being learning to co-create the world anew.
It's a good place to start.
I think to start with Shakti, because Shakti is the goddess of transformation. She is actually the goddess of that divine energy. Now, I've, again, distilled her, so we're not using her traditional big giant, you know, like myth. But if we can imagine that Shakti, you know, is that life force energy that starts at the base of the spine that goes up, that it infuses everything. But it is completely transformative because it gives life. It gives life. So that's that. Now let's see what the rest of yours say.
Yes. That's a perfect beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so
what do the rest of your friends have to say?
Yes, I'm more inclined now to go to the mat next then. Sorry, I was a little bit
You're perfect. Stephanie, you're perfect. Everybody is cheering you on, Stephanie.
That's wild. Peak joy, 33. Okay. And I say that's wild because I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I just listened to a recording of yours where you did that long reading and there were all the protection cards through Hay House. That reading was for me. I'm very embarrassed to say.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And now here's Peaks of Joy in the upright position. So
Jacqueline, the question was, she posed the question that she wanted to look at how to break out of the prison of her own making, right? So, and that's actually a great question for all of us to ask our counsel, right? How do we break out of the prison of our own making? And so the first card that the goddess reminds us that, hey, we have to love the part of ourselves that resists the transformation. That's kind of it in a nutshell. It resists it. That's the first one.
And then I think...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to the next card, actually, the Peaks of Joy. Yeah, there's something about Peaks of Joy specifically, and I always go back to the book, but there's a line when we think about this question, what do I need to do to get out of the cage of my own making, prison of my own making? It's the last line, let gratitude fill your heart and remember to share your happiness. Joy is contagious. Like there's this action that's written right in there as far as what you need to do to connect with that. So even when you're not feeling those peaks of joy, it's to let the gratitude bring forth those peaks, bring forth that happiness within you, which
now
is
let's get the next card. Yeah. And let's you take the next card and see how it relates to all of them, right? So thank you, Deb. That was great.
That's beautiful.
Same thing, just pose that question. This is your counsel who else is talking to me about the subject of breaking out of my prison of my own making.
I It's Coyote Spirit, Trust in Divine Detours.
Right.
16.
Okay. Yeah. Trusting that what you think is the prison of your own making may be a need for you to revisit an old wound to see what it is that you do automatically when you're about to up level, right? That's very, very, very common, by the way, right? So that instead of calling it like, oh, that's my, it's bad, like, because we tend to label when we're not moving forward, you know, as negative or bad or look at me, right? Self-judgment, that's that toxic judgment that we do to ourselves when it doesn't look like we're evolving. But Coyote Spirit says, wait a second, we take you and retrace your steps sometimes for good reason.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Where next am
I? Pick whoever is next. You can't make this up.
You can't, Colette. I just can't tell you. I'm so delighted to be talking with you guys. It just, you've changed my life. I mean, you know, it's so remarkable. Yeah, there's challenges, but this stuff, it really helps big time. No, I don't want. Hang on. The Dragon's Jewel, Inner Conflict, Morality, Conscious Choice, 23.
Mm-hmm. Which dragon are you going to feed, girl? It's like that inner conflict between radical self-acceptance.
So good.
Right? The acceptance of this is who I am and this is where I am right now. Right? Because if we were to look at the Prison Wave card from Wisdom of the Hidden Realms, that the concept of being in a prison of our own making means that the door is always open. We just perceive ourselves to be imprisoned, but we always have a way out. And so Dragon's Duel also speaks to the sabotager, also speaks to, you know, what do I need to do? You need to decide, you know, and it's hard. That's the discipline which makes this work hard, because you are going against the grain, against your conditioning. Right? That's what that card is saying. Yeah, there's a duel in here. You're used to this going back over and over. All of us are. This is literally for all of us. Your question tonight is for everybody here on this call. What do we do over and over again where we don't seem to move past where we were? Like, right? And so that's the dragon's duel. It's which dragon are we going to feed? Well, how about neither of them? Or like choose a fairy, right? You know? Get on a bird. It's asking us to do something different. When you are not joyful, share the joy, right? When, you know, admit that there's a part of you that's, okay, yes, I do those things and prevent myself. I forget that everything is here for me. I forget, right?
Yes.
And I think too, one of the things I love when we do readings like this, and guys, we realize that we're not doing like the traditional counseling. Oh my goodness.
She's got heartworm. She's under treatment and she's so sorry.
No, that's okay. No sorry necessary.
We're dog people.
I think it's really important to kind of come back up once you've pulled the cards, when you're pulling from multiple decks like this, to look at them now as a pattern. To look at them as a theme, which is what Colette just kind of did. She kind of walked us through that. And I think as I look at those cards too, there's one more piece, which is that so much of it is about perception.
Yes.
So much of it is about shifting your perception. So the Dragon's Duel and the Coyote, for example, are very similar. Mm-hmm. What you might think is one thing, maybe another, but it's your choice how you see it. And the Coyote is there to remind you to see it as a divine detour. Peaks and joy. Be grateful for whatever's happening so that the joy can come from there. Let that come from the inner source of joy, not the outer source of joy, no matter what's happening in your world around. And then the Dragon's Duel, it's like you have a choice here. You can choose how you view this situation or this circumstance. And I love that, you know, that all of this is surrounded by the message of Shakti, this idea especially. And I love this line, right? That life loves you. It's time, you know, it's about loving the insecure you, the one that's jealous, the one that sees not enough when the world is truly full of potential, right? So that even as you look at yourself, bring that space of love to the forefront there for yourself too. So
you have plenty to write about tonight, Stephanie.
Yes, and
So you see how this works. They all came from different decks, right? We're also, the point of this too is not just about the actual Oracle card decks, is to prove that we can request and receive what we need from multiple sources. Right? So each deck is a source. It's an oracle that's written differently with a different personality, but this is the precursor for you to realize, wait a sec, I have information coming to me from everywhere, right? It's like, this is sacred. Of course, the council is sacred, and it's the first step before you start to trust the bigger picture too.
And that, what I might suggest for your journaling, Stephanie, is I might go back and put that question at the top of your journal, and then put the cards in, and then talk, really reflect on how those cards relate to that question, because we've talked about a lot, but sometimes we need to just give ourselves a little pause to let it all settle in. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you will see some additional ahas from that specific to your question. And like where, if you haven't already heard them.
Now let's get somebody else up. Thank you, Stephanie, we love you.
Thank you.
That's really great, thank you. I love doing this. I think this is really good to show people how it works. I know I love Anna. She was like, enough talking, Colette, get the people up. Say that, but I know my Anna.
All right. So let's pick one more. Let's go with, we've got three here. So pick a number between 1 and 3, Colette. All right. Maria Ayat, you're going to come on up. So Maria.
Oh, is this our Maria? That was Maria.
I don't know. Let's see.
Is this our, hello, Maria.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Oh, yeah, you have a cool last name. Very cool. All right. So we're going to just use one card per council member, right? Okay. So again, we're going to pick a theme or a question. I think that was what we saw before meant something to everybody, right? Because what we're all looking at evolving. That's why we do this work. We're not just looking at, is somebody going to love me? This is about who do I become? You know, who will I become? What do I need to do to become the highest version of myself and express myself as fully realized, right? And the obstacles that show up for everybody. So you might want to ask specifically about a relationship. It can be very specific. You can speak to your counsel about a specific thing, or you can speak to your counsel about a more thematic thing. You decide.
Well, it's actually along the lines of what you were just talking about, which is basically like your unique, authentic, inspired life. But my question specifically is, what do I need to know about coming out of the spiritual closet that's for my highest good?
Perfect. Good enough right there.
And I hope that's a good question for the group.
It's a great question. No, it's a great question. Now, remember, it's going to be specific to you, but many people
will
also, because this is for you, right? This is your counsel for you. So do you have what decks do you have? Tell us which ones you want to use.
They're all here waiting for me. I've got the Goddess deck ready to go, Animal Spirit, Wisdom of Avalon, Hidden Realms, and the Good Tarot.
You tell us which one wants to go first. It could be any of them.
It's the Goddess.
Okay.
She's just like kindergartner with her arm up.
Yeah. It's funny when the Goddess calls you, you don't get to say nope.
It's funny because when I got her in the mail in the Amazon bag, I could literally, what's that across the room? It was the deck from the bag. Same word. All
right. Yeah. We're very proud of it.
First time I've picked her. I hope I don't badger her name. Is it Istre?
Yeah, it's Easter. It's Yostre, right? Yostre. But don't worry. You can say, there's so many different ways of pronouncing these goddesses. Like there's I looked up so many of them and they're so different. So it is actually Yostre. But it's Easter. Right.
Okay.
So, Yes. So she's all about new beginnings, right? And
you can't make this up.
She's also albino. These are all real women that my artist and I chose, and she's that way because she is. Her and the other one, Maya, are albino models. But she specifically was all about, you don't know yet, right? So it's new. Everything is new. It's like it's colorless. There's no distinction except newness, except that, you know, something that we don't know yet that is coming up from the ground, that is rising up within you, that is showing up in your life. And it's a card that is a different type of new life than it is Shakti. It's gentle. It's playful and it's happy, right? It's a very happy card. But let's find out what the next one. So she's saying you have a new beginning and you shouldn't be afraid. It is natural. The other thing is that Yasra is, all the goddesses represent natural cycles because that is the divine feminine. The divine feminine uses natural time. The calendar is 13 months, not 12. So it takes us out of that patriarchal system. So everyone has that sense, that power rising up. And she is about the natural cycle that you're in. Like it's natural for you to come out next. Okay, tell us.
Okay. It's interesting because the good tarot wants to go next. And I know we usually use that as a second opinion deck, but it's just.
You pick what calls you.
There aren't any reversed meanings to the good tarot deck, or am I missing that?
No, there are no reversed meanings to the good tarot deck. I did not create it to be upright and reversed. It's strictly about the evolution of the archetypes throughout the deck.
Oh my gosh, you can't make this up. It's the Fool.
Oh my God, it's the Fool.
What is happening?
You cannot make this up. New beginning, right? And also the beginner mind, right? And the discovering, like the Fool is wisdom that is to be discovered.
So I want to read, because one of the things I always want to remind us guys is you don't have to know the cards. You've got the book. It's why you're here.
I mean, I'm doing it with you. So
I know. So Colette's here. When we have Colette, we're good. And even she and I use the books when we're together.
Yeah, I write the stuff and I go, what did it say?
Yeah. So I want you to hear this, Maria, because I think it's so relevant to your question. I know that a spiritual approach rarely appears logical and sometimes even seems impractical. However, when this card appears, I can take a risk and trust that with faith, anything is possible. The invisible realms will reveal each step along the way. I am meant to experience this regardless of where I travel. This is a time when I'm learning that I am a spiritual being having a human experience.
Yeah.
So talk about coming out spiritually. That's a pretty profound message. That's the Fool.
Fool, Gina Maria, the Fool.
Good tarot. Wow.
That's amazing. Let's pick another one.
Yeah.
Well, as you were reading that, Doug, you were my unintentional oracle in reading that because Wisdom of the Hidden Realms is next because it had realms in that affirmation. So
I love it.
Well, got my answer. It's from Doug. Okay, that was fast. the Keeper of the Scales.
Oh, wow. So Doug, if you want to pull up the...
I've got it.
But so you have to remember about balance. Like when we think about coming out of the spiritual closet, you're not jumping out of the closet in a witch's outfit. You know?
Are you sure?
Halloween party. No,
you're not coming out with the broom and the crystal sparkles and things. It doesn't have to be like that. That there's a grounded approach.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real grounded approach to how you allow yourself to evolve into this new self, right? That the Keeper of the Scales is like it's not extreme.
Okay.
Right?
And I'm assuming you pulled this in upright, right, Maria?
Yes, it was upright.
Okay. So I'm not going to read the whole book, but the second paragraph really resonates as it relates to this. And it talks about harmony. It says harmony begins with the self and then resonates outward to others. You're in harmony with yourself when you nurture yourself with love, respect, and acceptance, always fully taking responsibility for your actions. Only then can you be in harmony with others. This is because love is the central force that connects all of life and aligns you with like-minded others. again, thinking about your question, right? This is about you, being in harmony first with you, which is what coming out spiritually is doing. It's creating an integrity and an alignment for yourself by being who you are on the inside as well as the outside. But as you do that, it will create space for others to do that. So as you love and respect all of these aspects of yourself, that's the message that she's bringing, is that there is a sense of balance and harmony. The law of harmony, of course, is what she's connecting to.
Right. It's right. Not the law of bull and china shop.
No.
There's certain people that you're not going to feel comfortable. You'll want to protect yourself. In module 3, we talk about, how our bodies feel, self-care, etc. So, when you think about coming out of the spiritual closet, although yes, many other, they're making jokes now about the engines on their brooms and everything coming and starting, but it's as you get more comfortable in your own skin, and also more self, it's not even so much self-protective. It's more about the self-esteem and respect you have for yourself, that you wouldn't throw your pearls before swine. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go knock on a fundamentalist door and go, hi. you'll be who you are and choose who you'll share that with.
That resonates with me. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Allison said, but it would be so much fun. LOL. Lol. Let's pick your next card.
So I've got Woto and the spirit animal deck fighting for, are we just doing four council members?
Yeah, do one, and you can always do the other one later.
Okay.
Do the one that wants to be on.
I'd like to bring one video. More person up.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Woto. Okay.
Flexible.
Colette did the reading for that one before you drew the card. So there you go.
And to top it off, I chose Eagle Spirit, which is spirit has your back.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. It's amazeballs.
Yeah.
Amazeballs.
Yeah, that's me. Amazeballs. Yeah. It's amazing.
Excellent. All right.
Thanks,
thank you,
Maria.
So much.
Thanks, y'all.
Okay. Thanks, this is great. I love this. Let's pick another person, Doug.
Yeah, we've got Lisa Silverman, who's still got her hand up. Thank you, Lisa, bringing you on. I'm going to unmute you. There you are.
Water. Oh, my gosh. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What a beautiful reading.
Yeah, these have both been amazing, haven't they?
I just had to put my broom away real quick.
My dragon's waiting outside chomping on the snow.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here with everyone. Nice to meet you, Colette, again. Yay! I have so many. So
what question would you like to ask?
Let's focus on something, and then bring it down into something a little bit narrower, and then we'll pick four of your decks, and then you can continue it afterwards. But I think you'll pick the four and just kind of feel who wants to talk, et cetera, and just do what comes.
So it's kind of my running theme is merging my interior design business with my spiritual business. So I'm working on remodeling that. So maybe that's my question, is how do I merge my interior design business and my intuitive medium business together?
How about what do I need to know about the theme of my personal currency, or what do I need to, right? Your personal currency is where you spend your energy, right? So there's an assumption of both. Like, how do I integrate the areas of my personal currency? Because I think you're asking about two specific things. It's like, how do I do this with that? And the cards may give you a little bit, maybe a wishy-washy reading. I don't know. Doug, what do you think?
Well, I certainly think you could ask the question, what do I need to know about integrating these two?
Yes. What do I need to know about integrating as opposed to how do I? Because they're not going to say, hey, you can pick up the phone and call George.
Yeah. It's like I was talking with a client and they said, I don't know if I should apply at this place or this place. And I said, my deck doesn't have a Nike and an Intel card in it. So it's not going to tell you which company to go work for. So
George, Fred, exactly.
Yeah.
So just more like, and then remember, this is is your personal currency, right? This is about you, the expenditure of your energy for, you know, how you circulate your energy in the world, right? So, and then you want to know about how to integrate the two.
I'm sorry, what is my, the question would be, what is my personal currency?
No, the question would be, what do I need to know about integrating my business? I just said your personal currency is what it's going to be. Yeah, like, because your personal currency is the energy that you spend and you circulate in the world.
Okay.
Right.
Well, thank you. I'm going to start with the goddess. They feel, when they came to my house, oh my gosh, they felt so familiar and wise and friendly and calm and like my great grandmother, my aunt. I mean, seriously, they're so familiar. It's unbelievable. Okay, so what do I need to know on how to integrate the two?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so I'm doing the goddess and I pulled Gaia, Gula Healing. And
Gula.
Gula.
Can you see okay?
Yep, we've got him here.
Okay.
So Gula is in the alignment position. It says she's calling you to recognize that you're running on empty. You have nothing left to give. You've reached the end of the road. You must stop what you're doing and consider the implications of your actions run amok. Do you need to set better boundaries around your enthusiastic tendency to say yes to everything? Have you allowed others to drain you because you feel it's your job to listen, love them, and fix them? Do your close companions cling to their victim stories and continue to improve them, impose them on you? Your alignment task is to step back and assess what is true and make new choices and maybe put yourself first. You'll be glad you did. Just remember, it is sometimes the healing choice to take a break and only focus on you for a change. So I'm going to interpret that for you. If you have been asking this question over and over and over again, that's what it's saying. Stop asking that question.
And just do it.
Yeah, well, not, it's just stop asking the question because you're running on empty now, trying to figure it all out, How am I going to do it? 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 And Ghoul is like, will you chill out? And that you got to take a break from asking this question. To me, she gave you a loving tap and a hug and say, slow down.
Right.
And I personally would take this question off the table.
Okay.
Because it's just right off the bat saying to you, you're exhausted. Now, for the sake of it, let's go through all the cards anyway. And then what I'd like you to do is reconsider when we close tonight that perhaps this is something that's going to come to you without you even asking. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Exactly. When you said that, it was just surrender.
Yeah.
Just surrender. And not
let's play with the council and see if they give you another little knock on the wrist.
Thank you. I'm going to do Woto next.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jan Dawson, this is not about that at all. This, what was that? TikTok. You have all the time in the world for crying out loud.
Yeah.
This is really not about the market she's trying to attract. This is about her stopping on doing this, stopping asking it. Yeah. Yes, right? You have all the time in the world. Like, here's the thing. Remember, you take one step towards the gods, they take 10 steps towards you.
Right.
This, and that card was saying, you can chillax.
Okay.
There is all the time. Time is your friend. When there's a frenetic, listen, I know you're ambitious, and ambitious people bump up against the walls of their own psyches because you figure, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Instead of letting it tell you how it's going to be done.
Right. And more also is how will people receive it?
You just have to, it'll show up. You don't know that yet. It's like an unknown.
It's getting clear now. That's for sure. Okay. So the next one, I think I'm called to use as the spirit animal.
Right.
What do I need to know?
I'm having so much fun, just so you know.
This is so great.
It was worth going outside in the cold to another house to get the internet to work.
Okay. So my my spirit animal card is coyote spirit.
What?
That's hysterical.
Yep. That mental detour for you. It's the mental detour for you.
Okay. And then one more.
Yep.
I think you, which I don't, to be honest, I don't really use them that often, is the Hidden Realms. I don't use them very often.
Well, let's try it tonight then, maybe, because it could give you, I think it could give you a, well, I find that it's, especially when there's a deck like that, it sometimes bringing it back in can give, especially when I've had some consistent messages, could give me some really interesting insight.
Doug, are you okay if we stay on for one more person?
Yeah, I'm good.
I think it would be great to do one more after you.
Thank you. This is so great. Oh my God, I love it.
You guys are okay to stay on late, right? So, okay.
Metal King. I don't know.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. That goes right back to the Gula, right? Boundaries. Yeah. So Gula and the Metal King are dancing on your behalf.
Yeah.
Right. It's really about setting personal boundaries with your own self.
Yeah. And, you know, that's interesting. I had that thought the other day that I need to have some different boundaries for myself with other people, and when I want to answer the phone or not, or if I know, and healthy boundaries.
Yeah. Good. There's a really good book I'm reading called Game Changers right now by Dave Asprey. He's the guy that did the Bulletproof Diet. That guy is like, he's interviewed all these really, really interesting scientists and very successful people about what it takes and what are the habits that they have. And how the brain can work better. And one of the things is to set boundaries around how much time you allow yourself to think about any specific thing, right? That because it can become draining, and it requires you to look for a decision. Like, you keep looking for a decision to make instead of just allowing it to show up for yourself and focusing on your self-care and your boundaries, even around your head.
Yeah. How much time, like you said, am I going to allow to think about something or not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's also a part of the Metal King, which talks about having a healthy sense of self-esteem as well, Lisa. So thinking about how can you be, as you're looking at trying to bring all of these pieces together or what to do with it. And again, the question's clear. Let that question go for right now. Yep. Just be confident. Allow yourself to find that space of confidence in yourself specifically. There's some work happening there in that regard.
Thanks, Lisa. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Okay, let's just have last one. I know
one through three.
I'm a little late because of everything, even though you had Doug and Anna. We're going to do 1, 2, 3. I'm going to do 3.
All right, Tracy St. Croix, you're coming on. Here we go.
Lisa, that was really great. Thank you for being so open with us, too, and allowing me to tease you a little bit.
Well, hello. Let me start this video here.
There you are.
Oh my God, what's going on, guys?
Hello.
Hey there. Okay.
I literally just got done with my last client, and I had you on in the background, and I was like, I have to talk to them tonight.
Well, you did it. All right, so let's take your counsel. We'll take 4 of the card decks. And okay. Let's focus on one specific question and look at how they answer that same, like the different aspects of the same question.
Okay. I've got my Woto right here. Let me go grab my other 3 very quickly.
Okay. And this is fun, everybody. Are you all enjoying yourselves tonight?
I'll just remind everybody that the questions in the main hall, we'll come back and Colette and I will answer any that we haven't tomorrow or this week. So
give me a few days. I'm going to go through last week's questions, if there are any, and this week's. And so just give me a few days on that one. It's good to show you what it is, right? It's much better to show you than it is to tell you. Thank you, Anna.
I completely agree. All right. I have all of my friends here.
Okay. And who's your first friend?
So let's just go ahead and start with Woto.
Perfect.
Perfect.
What's
on
your
that.
Question?
That's a good question. Oh my gosh. So I think like everybody, I have a lot of really awesome transition going on right now in my life. From I just bought my first duplex to great career opportunities. And it's all about that surrender of don't have to figure it all out, but I have to figure it out. You
so
know,
how
like
about,
you, yeah, you have to take
about this transition.
Say that again.
The question should be, what can you tell me about this transition?
What can you tell me about my current transitions that I'm in? So let's see, and we're going to start with the word.
Or actually, I would say I'd like to tweak that. Because they can tell you, other, you know, like, oh, you just bought a house. You don't want that. So how about, what do I need to know about this current transition for my highest good?
I like that. Okay. So what do I need to know about this transition for my highest good, my current transitions? All right. Come on, milk and honey. Let's see. Ah, shocker. Regeneration.
Okay, regeneration. So we know that there is new life.
Yes.
From whatever was, and we know that regeneration is also like spring. It is meant to be born again, meant to be, it's a cycle. So as we know, and if you've read Fractal Time by Greg Braden, he talks about cycles of opportunity that come, and you're riding, I would say, if Ride the Wave came, it would have been similar to regeneration. You know what I'm saying? It's like that same feeling of, yes, this is, I am new again. This is really good.
It is. And to be honest with you, it's scary. It is scary. So I guess we will move on to one of my other favorite council members, which is Wisdom of the Hidden Realms.
Okay.
What do I need to know about my current transition? Oh, that is very interesting. The Diamond Dreamer in Protection.
Okay. Now let me just say how that came up for you. You notice how you demanded that the card be milk and honey.
Uh-huh. Which,
okay. And then I want this to be good. And then you said, you know, I'm scared. It's scary. So when we say I want that card to make me feel better, then I don't want to be scared. And then you got generation, you got scared. And then the Diamond Dreamer is about, you know, not trusting that all these amazing things are real or true or, you know what I mean, are tangible, that you can handle them, etc. So it just spoke directly to your fear that you expressed. And we love you, by the way, that you were being a little vulnerable there. And so the card just said, hey, you have to trust. You have to trust.
Yes.
You get revealed. You get revealed.
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on to, I have the enchanted map. Shall we? All right.
It's so true for all of us, though, I think. You know, I always say when you up level, there's a new devil, right? There's always going to be somebody, something come up, and you know, our worthiness, self-worth, self-esteem, trusting and abundance, is it going to be taken away? Am I allowed to have this? You know, and as women, especially when you're moving up in the world and you know, you just bought your own place, you just did this, there's an innate training and conditioning that says you're not allowed. Remember, we've only just voted for the past 100 years or so. So there's this, there's a cultural conditioning, a family conditioning, that, you know, your past experiences, that conditioning of that, that lives in all of us have it. All of us have it.
No, I mean, and that hits the nail, you know, right on the head, because, you know, when I told my aunt about all of these amazing transitions, and, you know, she's in her early 70s, and she said, Tracy, I really don't know what to tell you because I'm really scared for you because you're doing a whole lot of things that I don't have any experience around, and that's scary to me.
Okay.
You know,
remember, we get on our bird and we get neutral. Yeah. Before we go to the cards. So this is a beautiful conversation that we're having. And also, we're talking about your fears, etc., because that's the dominant energy that's actually showing up in your card, right? And
makes
in the
sense.
Which is nothing that's not bad. You know, this is not bad or wrong because you've been basically juju'd by your great aunt who says, I'm so scared for you. Like, you're doing all these scary things. Like, okay, you know, that's like, thanks for sharing. We have each other here, right? So you're in good family fear. Exactly. Family fear. It's family fear. And so I understand where this is coming from. So so let's see what the next card says, because this is, you're meant to address these fears is what it's saying.
I agree. I fully agree with that.
And so, love it.
What do I need to know about my current? All right. I got flying in the protection.
Right. Don't fly too high, right? Lest you be taken down. Look at the tall poppy syndrome, right? The tall poppy syndrome where everybody's expecting to be cut down. Every time I release a new project or a new Oracle deck or whatever, there's some maniac that comes after me. Like, it's like we go, okay, it's just the nature of our society now. It's the nature. You just got to say, okay, yeah, I'm afraid of that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Right. And flying was above. That's that observer as well, being above and being too much where you're suction cupped. Your life is suction cupped to your face when flying is in protection too, right? That sense of feeling like I'm caught in the weeds, you know, and we live in a culture right now, a culture, if you look at social media, is a bully culture. So of course, you know, and then you have that in your own family. I'm afraid you're going to fall down from the sky, right? And so, right? And you got to get tough. I hate to say that, but when I say tough, we have to love those fearful parts of ourselves. And we have to go out there and focus on the opportunities that we have. We want to focus on making what we do matter in the world, not on what other people say about us or whatever, like your grandmother. That's a big deal. Or your aunt. I can't
remember.
But still, right? The dominant energy lives in all of us. And when we feel that fear, it debilitates us. We can't move forward because something is holding us back. But we can, because that's a temporary little spot that we're visiting. That the cards are right now. You need support, but you don't ask you. You betray your family story. You have to betray the cultural story. You have to say, no, I'm going to do this, right? You got to betray the family story.
I like that. Betray the family story. Mm-hmm. It makes
and love yourself.
It makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, for some people. Other people have great, I have a friend whose family is the most supportive. I'm like, who are you people? She has no problem. She goes out there, she could care less who says what about her. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, who cares? I'm going to do it. My mom loves me. I'm like, wow. Right? It's like, I'm caring. I still carry baggage around. I'm 60 years old and here it comes again. But you just got to look at it and love it and say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because what I do matters.
Yes.
That's what you got to remember.
And that's what keeps me going, is saying, you know, God hasn't dropped you on your head yet. So I don't think he will now.
And you got all of this, right? Just remember that fear is not our friend. It is a friend only in asking us to readdress an old wound. But it is not, you don't keep dancing with fear. And that takes discipline. That really does take discipline, getting on your bird, get on that bird. Look at, is that true? Is that really true? The big boogeyman coming to your house? No. I liken these boogeymen to, you ever see Tweety Bird and Sylvester when he was training his kid for to see the Tweety Bird, how he was going to catch a bird, and he and Tweety ate the Jekyll and Hyde, you know, thing, and all of a sudden Tweety was a big, giant, ugly bird, and Sylvester was scared shitless of Tweety, but the little cat was like, well, I'm ashamed of my father. Right? It's like that. We have to look at these goblins like Tweety Bird. All blown up, right?
YouTube is already reporting an increase in searches for that video now, Colette. So now that we've done that.
Right? I guess it's just so important that you know you're loved. You're not alone. Yeah. We all have felt that way. It's this and that is true, right? It's like life is going to happen. Yeah, you're doing something scary for your aunt, but you're doing something. We look at you and go right on.
Yeah, I mean, and I know deep down inside from like a soul level, it's like, oh, honey, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Just you wait and see.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, you know, you got to get to this level to get to another level to.
The best you can do to people who say you cannot do is to build an empire. You know what I'm saying? Like, for your, against your naysayers, like, whatever, just do what you do. Love what you do and take one step. You don't have to take 50 steps. One step.
And that's pretty much what I've done. Everybody, you know, I'm sure a lot of us on this call can relate to, oh, you can't do that for a business. That's not a, you know, viable income. That's, you know, I'm sure a lot of us have heard all of those.
Yeah.
Stories. And so what I did was, you know, say, oh yeah, well, let me show you something. Let me show you some magic.
So don't let the one voice that you're used to, because that's your family voice. Like, we all have that voice, to take it away from you, to take everything that you've built up till now. And the cards are just giving you a little nudge that way. So they showed you your fear, and you showed us your fear right away. Like, if only milk and honey will be the good card.
Give us some milk and honey.
Just give us that one. Let's see how, like, that was our first clue right there.
Well, you know, positive thinking, Colette.
Yeah. Exactly. Look at Gina Maria. She just said, those naysayers told me I wouldn't live till the end of 2002. Little did they know.
Oh, you rock it.
Right? Yeah. And she does. So we're all miracles. We've gone. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you in San Diego, Colette and Doug. Have a good one. Thank you so much for your time.
Hang on. The goddess card for Tracy is Maya in alignment. The alignment. Okay, she's the goddess of illusion. She's Scandinavian, Greco-Roman, Hindu, and Tibetan, right? So she comes from multicultures. She represents illusion. So when she comes to you in the alignment task, she's saying to you, don't buy into the illusion of the bullshit, right? Just trust that you are here. Spirit breathes you. Your enthusiasm for the things that you were said you couldn't do, you keep following that. The illusion of lack and intolerance and limitations are not real unless you make them real.
I agree with that. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Doug, for calling on me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you for everybody on the call. See y'all in San Diego.
All right. Bye.
Wow. What a night, girl.
That was a great night. Thanks for staying later, you guys. I do feel bad about the internet thing, but I feel like we owed it to you to stay a little later. Thank you, Doug. I know you have lots of other things next to do.
I love being with you guys. It's always a pleasure. Guys, just as a reminder, this week is about taking care of yourself when reading for others. A good activity to do, I should have mentioned this earlier, journal how you're doing that this week. Journal when you're noticing anxiety, resistance, any feelings that you're having. Just notice that. It's really good to kind of start to get tuned into your body, into your own way of reacting to certain energies that come on. So just do a little reading. Yes, Mildred is telling me the call is over. That's why she's whining all the time right now. But we'll bring it on another time.
So bye, everybody. Thank you so much for trusting us to lead you in this wonderful journey. Thanks, Anna, for coming on and being being my, my anyway, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm tired. Bye.
Being our companion. Bye, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.